Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tip Balls Podcast. I am your host, Sam Randazzo. I am joined by my two co-hosts. To my right, it is the one and only, it's Uncle Sam.
Hello.
To my left, it is none other than our very own, Mr. Zolo, Mike Palazzolo.
How's it going?
Behind the computer, just gaped and coated in his own goo, it's Bruce the Tugboat Venditti.
Hello.
We're also joined in studio today by Jovi Sells. Shout out to Jovi Sells. For your next home buying needs, make sure you go on Instagram.
Put Jovi Sells on, Bruce.
You search Jovi Sells on Instagram. He will stop at nothing to put you in the home of your dreams. So call Jovi Sells. It's 313-806-3423. That's a free plug for you guys, too. Free plug. Welcome. Welcome back. Uncle Sam, how the fuck are you today?
Great.
Any high points, low points, pits, or peaks from the last week?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
How was your weekend?
Great.
Well, I mean, nothing. You got nothing for me?
I went to the Michigan Antique Show in Davisburg.
There we go.
How was that?
How do you just leave that out? What did you find at said Michigan Antiques Show? What was that?
I walked around. Me and my wife and my youngest walked around there. And
did you bring Mr. Cat?
No.
I didn't know if... Do you have a stroller for Mr. Cat?
No.
Do you think he would enjoy that?
I have
that?
A harness for him. I just don't think he'll go crazy if I go to put it on him. He's a little big. I got to buy a dog one for him. So,
the medium-sized dog harness?
Yeah.
Do you think Mr. Cat would enjoy being pushed in some
He's
sort of cart?
He's about 20 pounds. He's a big fucker, so.
Yeah, put him in the stroller.
No, no strollers.
No?
He'll rip it apart and escape out of it.
You think?
Yeah.
What did you find anything at the antique show? Did you?
No, there's some cool stuff. I mean, it's a lot of old people, old white people. That's all it is. And it's
they are the antiques.
Yeah, the customers are more of the antiques than the actual antique places are. No, it was pretty cool. Never been to it.
Did you get anything?
I got a couple little things to stick in my lawn.
Oh, there you go.
Made out of metal. Metal like little bird feeders and shit like that.
That's what I'm talking about. That was over the weekend?
Pretty cool.
That was over the weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was
good
fun,
weekend.
Man.
Good weekend. Zolo, we need to hear about details from MSG. We need to know about how the last week went. Let's hear it.
So first things first, while we're on the topic of cats, we had to say goodbye to Sarah's cat.
R.I.P.
My little buddy, Russell.
R.I.P. Russ.
R.I.P. Russell. He's in a good place now. He wasn't doing well at the end.
Yeah. Why'd you put him down?
He wasn't eating. We couldn't get him to eat much.
He wasn't eating.
And he wasn't pooping. And he couldn't climb into the bed anymore. He like rapidly deteriorated last month.
How old?
14, which I know it can be kind of young. Like my uncle's a vet and he said like 12 to 14 is the sweet spot. Like that's usually when they
go. Food. It's the food nowadays.
That's Sarah's thing. And she's like, you know, I've talked to some people whose cats are 16, 17, 18, 19, and they were on science diet. And she's like, if we get another cat, he's got to be on science diet.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll get another cat down the road. Everything else has been good. Sarah graduated, went to New York, obviously.
Shout out to Sarah. Congrats, Sarah.
Saw a win in the garden last Tuesday, which was incredible. On my birthday, no less. So it was a good week last week. Garden was fun. I don't know if you guys – I didn't see the show last week. Did you guys talk any Pistons? Because I would talk Pistons.
I don't think we talked Pistons. We'll touch on Pistons tonight.
We said goodbye to the Pistons.
Did we?
We did.
Yeah, we could put a bow on the Pistons. Well, no, they weren't eliminated by the time you did the show. You did the show last Monday.
Uncle Sam made the assumption that more likely than not the Pistons were going to get eliminated, and he was wrong for a day, or 2 days. And I actually watched the last game.
Let's be honest. If you watch this Piston team, the only. They need somebody else. They need somebody else to be able to create. They don't have it.
Yeah, can we do this right now? You want to
do
this right now?
Do it. Pistons talk.
First things first, regardless of the missed over and back on game three, which they did miss, and regardless of the missed foul on Tim Hardaway in game four, it was incredible that the Pistons were, like, they were very much in that series. I still think they were outplayed. I think that the better team probably won.
The thing that destroyed them was these fourth quarter lapses to where they were just, you know,
if you
were going on 11-0 run, 12-0 run, and that will destroy you.
If you close game four, they went on that run in the third quarter, and if you close game four properly, and Brunson got injured. If you close game four properly and if you close game six properly, like, you win that series. And on top of that, you did it without your best secondary scorer, which is Jaden Ivey, who hasn't played since January. And you did it without your best rim protector. You know, Karl Towns' stat line looks a lot different if Isaiah Stewart's there. So I agree with you. There's two camps right now, right? Now that everyone's invested in this, the people who have been watching the team all year are of the mindset of, hold on one second, let's run it back and see what it looks like with Ivy and with Stewart. And then there's people that are like, well, we don't need to blow it all up, but like they need, like, if you can, I love Tobias Harris. I want him on the team next year. He's a great influence in the locker room. But if you can get an upgraded stretch four, or if his backup can come in and shoot threes, and then they need a secondary scorer to Cade Cunningham, because when he's cold, the whole thing falls apart.
Brunson. Yeah. Brunson's cold, they lose. But they only lost one game.
Yeah, well, because he wasn't very cold.
Right.
The one game he was cold, they lost.
At the end, when it took for him to put it over the top, he did it. I mean, came back after a 16-point performance the game prior, turn around and put 40 on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they need. They need somebody that can do that. They don't have anybody that can put a 40 burger.
Hold on. Cade Cunningham will be better than Jalen Brunson. He'll be that scorer. And there was this argument. I was so immersed in Knicks Twitter and national media Twitter last week. And Knicks fans are so insecure and toxic. It hurts them personally when they hear, oh, Brunson's the best player. There's no way Cade Cunningham's not the best player. Yes, Jalen Brunson was not only the best scorer in that series, he's probably one of the three best scorers left in the playoffs. Does that make him the best player? Well, no, because Cade Cunningham can beat you in different ways. And when his team is clicking around him, they win. He's a better scorer than Cunningham.
He
didn't touch him in rebounds. He didn't touch him in assists. Like, that's how,
you know what?
Jalen Brunson helps his team win by scoring. Cade Cunningham will get there. Cade Cunningham is only 23, and he will learn how to score. Maybe not as good as Brunson does, but if you're getting 30 burgers out of Cade every game, you win that series.
I don't think that he's capable of doing what Brunson does. I don't think his game is set up that way. He's a better all-around player, but I don't think he's not the scorer that Brunson's is.
Cade's 23, though. Cade's four years ago, Jalen Brunson wasn't what he was now either. Jalen Brunson was backing up for the Dallas Mavericks 4 years ago. He's 27 or 28 now. So Cade, once he puts that work in and he learns the foul baiting and he learns the shoulder movements.
He still has to get somebody opposite him.
They need another scorer. They need a secondary scorer. They need 100%. But I mean, you in particular, because I know you were immersed in the 04 Pistons. Did you not feel like a little kid over the last 2 weeks?
It was the most fun I've had watching NBA probably since then.
Like, I felt like a little. Game three, I went to game three at Little Caesars Arena. I couldn't hear the starting lineups. In the Palace, you could at least hear Mason call off the names. I couldn't hear the final countdown during game three. And to see the whole city show up, like, you saw what you saw on TV for game three. Like, you saw he was at game four, but you saw Goff and
Kelvin Johnson was there.
Chauncey Billups came back. Rip and Ben were there. Dan Campbell was there. Like, you saw what you saw, but then what you didn't see was Timothy Chalamet and Ben Stiller, and they never showed Spike Lee, and you didn't see Mike Tirico sitting back there, and all, like, a lot of people that you saw were there, and people that you didn't see were also there. Like, the city showed out, and people showed up for those three games, actually, at Little Caesars Arena. And, like, I think the Pistons have a way of bringing this town together. The Tigers kind of have this, and obviously the Lions do, but the Pistons have a way of, like, bringing this town together and making them rabid. Like, it's something that they will always hold over the Red Wings, is the Pistons' base fan base is just so diehard, and there's no entitlement. Like, we've just been waiting and waiting and waiting for what we got this last week. Like, the best is yet to come. Like, there's so much good coming for the Pistons. It's going to be a fun-ass offseason for them. Like they're going to be in on Kevin Durant. They're going to be in on Devin Booker. Like, people are going to want it. They're going to think about coming to play with Cade Cunningham. So I'm excited for the future, and I think this is not the last time we talk about the Pistons.
Ooh. See, the Pistons thing was nice because you're in the lull of no football, right? And, like, I'm sorry, I really don't give a shit about April and May baseball. it's too cold to actually go enjoy the games, and like I really don't care. I know, are the Tigers doing good right now?
The Tigers are in first place in the American League. They're like the second best team in baseball.
Well, okay.
They're a top five World Series favorite right now.
There we go. And when we hit the 4th of July, I'll start to
get But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Baseball season starts now.
Right.
Like, the draft is over. The Pistons are out. Like, it was timed perfectly. But now that you're here, welcome. The entire starting staff has sub-3 ERAs.
28-11.
Yeah, they're very good. The last time, I think it's more than that. I think it's 29-11. I think this is their best start. Check it. But through the same amount of games in 06 when they went to the World Series, like this team is better on paper. And on top of that, you probably didn't know this.
22-13.
So Javi Baez is hitting .300.
I saw that.
Spencer Torkelson is right there and leads the American League in home runs.
They have the best record in the American League.
Yeah, they have the best record in the American League. And they have the best run differential in baseball.
Dodgers are 23-11.
Yeah, they're right there.
What were the 84 Tigers at this time?
35-5 after 40, right? Or I'm sorry, What was it?
I thought they were 38-3 or 31-3. Yeah,
I think it was 35-5 after 40. We're right there.
There we go. It's baseball season.
Ran away.
Baseball season's here. Like it's a perfect time to focus on the Tigers.
Well,
go there. We'd skip school, go get the $2 bleacher seat. Showed up.
Get cigarettes out of the vending machine. Or is that too far back?
No, they had cigarettes in vending machines.
They did?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Good times.
Go get yourself the $2.50 big beer. Yeah. Get the $2 bleacher seat. Smoke a fatty. Smoke a fatty in the bleacher seats like Bruce. Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Bruce. Bruce, how many Tigers games have you been to this year?
Three so far.
That's it?
Yeah.
How many times have you golfed so far this season?
Twice.
Every Saturday.
Twice.
Two golf outings, three Tigers games, and a Michigan Panthers game yesterday.
You go to Michigan Panthers
games? To the Michigan Panthers games yesterday.
We had to celebrate someone's birthday.
Yeah. Shout out to Jovi Sells. His birthday was yesterday.
Congratulations.
We had another birthday while we were off.
What are you, 31?
Actually, and it wasn't even me that brought this up. President Baker brought this up in the chat. He wished Zolo a happy belated whose birthday passed while we were off air.
Thank you, President Baker.
No.
I don't know. He knew.
Yeah. I spent it at the Garden watching the Pistons win. Had an absolute blast. Highly recommend
Spike
going
Lee there.
Yeah, Spike Lee was there.
Yeah. Did you throw something at him?
I did not, but I have a funny story on Knicks fans. So I went to game 3 here, like I mentioned, and I was able to get into the Grey Ghost bar before the game. And we sat next to this guy who was like a big personality, like big ego, just talking all this shit. But he was nice about it, and little guy with a Brooklyn accent. He was there with his brother, and he's just bragging. He's bragging, but he's showing pictures about what he's bragging about. I'm like, okay, this guy is kind of not blowing smoke up anyone's ass. And he eventually said, I got Timmy and Ben their seats tonight, but I took the better ones because they couldn't even get in here if it wasn't for me. This guy's name was Jason Calacanis. Have you ever heard of him by any chance?
No.
He's got two top 10 Apple podcasts. One of them is on startups. It's like This Week in Startups. And
this fucking guy?
That's him.
Wow.
That's him. Knicks fan from Brooklyn, and he's an angel investor. And he lives in Austin now. He was in Silicon Valley. But so sure enough, we walked him to the game. Like, we walked him to Little Caesars Arena. He was sitting perpendicular next to the Knicks bench for game 3. So I'm like, yeah, what you're going to do is you're going to go right there to this portal, and then you're going to walk down. We watched him go down, and as Timothy Chalamet and Ben Stiller walk out, they reach out, yo, Jason. Like, they start dapping him up, and all the Knicks fans are dapping him up. And I'm like, okay, this guy was clearly not blowing smoke up anyone's ass.
He was one of the original investors of Uber.
Yeah.
For $25,000.
Here, I got you right here. You want me to show you how important he is?
Wow.
He was in Jeffrey Epstein's black book.
Whoa.
Yeah. He addressed it. He's like, I've never been on the island, but he's like, yeah, I'm a New Yorker, and I went to school at Fordham, and I made my way through investing in New York in the early 2000s. He's like, every single motherfucker knows who he is. Everyone knew who Epstein was. Every politician. So he's like, yeah, of course I was there. But he's like, I wasn't close with the guy. But yeah, I knew him. I knew him personally.
Wow.
Yeah, but legend. That's him.
Legend.
So I guess he wasn't on the flight logs 27 times like Bill Clinton.
No, you couldn't find – he was never at the island. He would only meet with them in New York if he ever met with them.
Speaking of presidents, to move back into a football, somewhat of a football mindset here. Later on today, President Donald Trump is going to announce.
It happened. He already did it? He already did, yeah. I heard it on the radio on the way here.
The 2027 NFL draft will be hosted by the Commanders at the National Mall in front of the Washington Monument in D.C.
The Redskins?
The Redskins, sure, the Redskins.
Did you guys see the early rendering of their building, too?
No, I have not.
So they announced last week. Remember that we almost had a shutdown 2 months ago? There's almost a anyways, in the current negotiated budget, somehow your Congress, with your tax dollars, negotiated that the Commanders' new stadium is going to fall under that, but not entirely funded, but... there's some public money going to that, but the Commanders are getting a new building. It's going where their original building was when they played at RFK Stadium. So you can see it's going to be indoor with a glass roof and a panoramic glass window. And in the panoramic glass window is the Capitol, like in the center. Like the way the Capitol is set up right now, you could see what's left of RFK Stadium.
And they're supposed to be changing the name back to the Redskins. I keep hearing this.
We'll see.
Hopefully they do. I thought it was stupid that they changed it in the first place, but.
Yeah, Goodell was at the White House with Josh Harris today. I'll make it official. So, where is it next year?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, God.
Pittsburgh has a chance to look as cool as Detroit. I don't know if you guys talked about it. I apologize. I did not listen to the show last week because I had a chaotic week. But did you talk about the crowd at the draft?
We didn't.
It was good. The crowd was good. It didn't touch what we did. No. Like people, the Packers
setup
fans,
didn't either.
The setup for sure didn't.
A couple hundred thousand that first day.
They had 200,000 the first day, and they had bad weather the next 2 days. But like their fans were bragging when that notice went out at 7 o'clock that it was closed to 200,000 people. I'm like, cool. We did that at 4:00. We did that at 4:30. When it was here and it was colder, and
we also did that for 3 days straight.
And we did it for We did it in the rain.
Downtown area was full of people.
Yeah. So Pittsburgh will have a chance.
There's a lot of people there. They did a good job with it.
I think you've been to Pittsburgh before, right?
I've been to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's a really cool town, and it's built for something like this. So Pittsburgh, pending where they have it, has a chance to do this. But if you do it at Heinz Field and the backdrop's the river, like, come on. Like, is it really going to be that? You know, like, I don't know if they can tell. Like, we just had access to people. Like, we had people coming from Ohio, which Pittsburgh can get. We had people coming from Chicago and coming from upstate New York and Canada. And then here, like, it was so well-timed with the Lions AFC champion or NFC championship. But
here's more of a destination than Pittsburgh.
Right now, yes.
Fuck goes to Pittsburgh.
Right now, yes. People go to Pittsburgh. People are loyal. Like,
I'm not talking about football fans. I'm just talking about people in general.
When I was working at Bedrock, one of the models for cities that do things well that we're trying to incorporate, one of the major models for Detroit's quote unquote comeback was Pittsburgh. They wanted to make it like a vibrant, walkable, yet still with a small town feel downtown. And Pittsburgh has these pockets where it's like that, where it makes sense. Like, it's like a Brooklyn almost. It's got, like, an artsy vibe to it. And there's, like, loyal, blue-collar people there. I don't think they're going to do what we did because I think a lot of what we did was, like, circumstantial in the timing. Like, it was a big event in Detroit. But Pittsburgh should be better than Green Bay was. That's my guess. And honestly, like, for D.C., like, D.C. could be really cool. Like, that. Like the venue is already sick. They're going to have it in the mall. Like, that's... What's not to like about that? In front of the Washington Monument, supposedly, but like, okay, like you're going to get the people that come in from Maryland and from Virginia and maybe some people from Philly, maybe some people from New York, but like they had that already. Like Philly had a draft.
Yeah.
New York had endless drafts. You know, like are they really going to commute all the way there for that?
No.
We'll see. That could be cool. I think both the next two could be cooler than Green Bay was, though.
A couple other pieces of news. The Texans are saying that Tank Dell will probably miss all of the 2025 season.
Not surprised.
Due to the leg injury.
Did you see his tattoo?
I did. It was absolutely wild. He went under anesthesia to get his whole leg tattooed. It's worth looking it up. It's actually pretty wild. Another piece of news. The Patriots announced today that they're retiring Julian Edelman's number 11 and putting him in the Ring of Honor. I need to ask your thoughts on that. Do you think Julian Edelman is worthy of a number retirement and Patriots Hall of Fame?
Do I think that?
Mm-hmm.
Is Wes Welker in the Patriot Hall of Fame?
No, he is not.
Then why would Julian
Edelman be in there? Wes Welker never won titles.
Sorry?
And didn't Julian Edelman get an MVP? Was he Super
Bowl?
Got an MVP.
Wes Welker never won a title there. Edelman won. Did he win three there?
Won three.
And he was an MVP. I think that could be a... I could see your reasoning on Welker being a better player than him. Like, Welker's one Patriot season is probably better than any of Edelman's.
I thought Welker has a Super Bowl.
No, he didn't win one.
I thought he did.
No, Welker and Moss did not win a Super Bowl for him. They were on 08. They were on that team that went 19-1.
So, Edelman's 11 will not be retired because they retired it with Drew Bledsoe.
What?
Drew Bledsoe's in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
They retired Drew Bledsoe.
And the 11 was retired after Edelman left.
Anyway, stupid. Yeah.
So,
retiring numbers to me. Listen, if you want to retire that number with that player's name on it, I get it. But I think all numbers should be able to be used. I don't. If you're a premier player on a team, and let's say Saquon Barkley wanted to wear Wilbert Montgomery's 31 in Philly, I would say go ahead.
Okay, well, that leads me to my next point today. Gronkowski actually spoke about this pretty good yesterday. The video's on Twitter. How do you feel about Abdul Carter asking to wear Lawrence Taylor's retired number?
I don't listen to me. LT revolutionized the entire fucking game and how you play the game because of him. Like Mike had said prior, you know, they invented the left tackle position because of him.
So
that was automatic.
But you said you disagree with number retired.
I don't care if they want to. If he wants to wear 56, I'd let him wear 56.
Well, Lawrence Taylor told him
no. Fuck. Billy Sims wore 20 here. And Billy Sims was a good player. Barry Sanders wore 22. Hall of Famer Len Barney wore 20.
We have three different Hall of Famers that wore 20.
I didn't see Len Barney
here.
Or Billy Sims tell Barry Sanders, hey, you can't wear 20.
So you think Lawrence Taylor's in the wrong?
Kind of, yeah, I do. I don't think it takes a number to make a player.
To double down on that, Carter wore 11 in college.
Correct.
So he then asked Phil Sims if he could wear his retired number 11, and Phil Sims told him no.
Now, to me, that's ridiculous. Because Phil Sims, let's be honest, yes, he won a Super Bowl. He's a fucking journeyman. He has no right to tell anybody, hey, you can't wear that number. That to me is just stupid. Okay, is anybody on Red Wings wear number 9?
No.
Do you think anybody will ever wear number 9?
No.
No. But do you understand what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, if you want, listen, we've moved past. We're, how long has the NFL been around for? Fuck.
We were at Super Bowl what?
What are we?
What was it this year? 60?
This is 59. The NFL's technically been around for 100 years.
No, I know that. 100
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
The Lions have been around, fuck.
The Lions, I think, 90? Were 1934, the Portsmouth Spartans.
34 to fucking, hello, to 24.
Yeah.
Hello.
Portsmouth Spartans.
At some
you
point,
check
at
me
some
on that.
Point, you're going to run out of fucking numbers, no?
Yeah, they're going to run out of numbers. They're going to run out of numbers.
I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. That's why you're seeing zero, guys wearing zero. And
you guys ever hear the show Futurama? Here. You know the show Futurama? They did a, like in 2000, they did a skit on this because it takes place in the year like 3000 and they're with the Yankees, like they're doing the Yankees and they retire so many numbers that they start putting like decimals on their jerseys.
Yeah.
Like 3.
Yeah. I mean, it's just stupid. I don't,
smart,
listen
smart,
to me.
1928.
My fault.
If
not
you say, okay,
they
56
moved to Detroit
for the Giants, you know it's fucking Lawrence Taylor. You mm-hmm. know who it is.
What's weird? What's weird on the Abdul Carter thing is, number one, he was at Penn State, and they had – I can't remember which number. Is it 13 at Penn State or 11?
11.
So it was LeVar Arrington.
Micah
Parsons.
Micah Parsons.
And he – I think Abdul Carter had 11. So it's like, why don't you wear 11 with the Giants? I don't know why you don't
can't.
Do that.
They can't. Phil Simms.
Phil Simms told him no.
Okay. I think it's cool that he's kind of asking, but, like, you can go pick a new number.
Listen
and
to me.
A,
I would be like, fuck you, I'm wearing it.
Well, yeah. The organization hasn't retired. He has to get permission for them to wear it.
It's just stupid. That's dumb to me. To me, that's stupid. At what point does the team needs to step in and say, hey, you had two guys of the Hall of Fame that wore number 20 for the Detroit Lions. What the fuck? Really?
Another piece of news, Matt Stafford restructured his contract today. So he is owed $44 million this year and $44 million next year.
Gee, that's
it is going to be a bargain. Fully guaranteed.
Yeah, it's a bargain.
Other than that, I think that's pretty much all of the news.
Oh, and Sherrone Moore is self-inflicting his own punishment on the Connor Scallion case. He wants to serve his little suspension in week 3 and week 4 this year. You know, he's like a kid in high school that's picking what days he wants to be fucking grounded.
Connor,
I know,
Scallions?
I did that before.
Connor Scallions?
Whatever his name is.
Stallion?
Whatever, Scallions.
Connor Scallions.
Scallions. Whatever, dude.
Connor
All we know
Scallion.
Is this. All we know is this. At some point, you just got to say, you know what? Let's just move on and get this shit over with. The longer you let this shit roll, the more bullshit's going to happen to you guys. Okay? Take your suspensions. Take your taking of scholarships away, because that's what's going to eventually happen if they keep rolling with this bullshit. Okay? He can't go jump to the NFL like Jim Harbaugh because he's not good enough. So,
the other thing I found cool from this draft was the Buccaneers. They drafted the lightest and the heaviest players in the NFL.
Okay.
Tease Johnson is 154 pounds.
Okay.
Soaking wet.
And Desmond Watson, the defensive tackle, is 464 pounds.
There you go.
They got the lightest and the heaviest players in the NFL out of this draft.
Who's this?
Thought it was a cool fact.
Who this?
The Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers.
Well, let's
see. Okay. I want to talk about the Lions draft this year, because Zola wasn't here when we went over it the other day, and I want to get his thoughts, because it's still bothering me. This Lions draft is still bothering me. I'm going to shout out Cousin Steven here. I don't know if he's still in the chat, but he was earlier. Cousin Steven was very happy with the way that this draft went.
A lot of people are.
I guess there are a lot of diehard in
As
Brad. We
keep going on. More people are saying how better the draft.
In Brad, we trust people are all in on this draft.
Well, let's hear from the guy.
I still don't like it. I wanted to hear your thoughts on everything that happened.
Do you want to go like pick by pick? Like,
sure.
What do you want
to
do?
I would love to go pick by pick.
All right. So let's start with Tyleik Williams. Let me ask you guys, what would you have preferred there?
Jahad Campbell.
I do love me some Jahad Campbell, and I think he's going to be an absolute.
I just think if you're going to take the 5th-ranked defensive tackle, I would take the top-ranked linebacker over that.
This is what I'm going
to. If you're not drafting for need.
If Jahad Campbell.
That's fair. And I think linebacker could, like, maybe it's not a need right now. I think it could be a need down the road, though. But I know where you're coming from.
If Jahad Campbell wasn't on their board, okay, which I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they probably took him off at the board. He wasn't a Dan Campbell guy, and he probably wasn't on the board. Why not trade out of 20? It's very hard for me to believe that Tyleik Williams would have been off the board before an early second round.
I don't think they got the offers, to be honest.
That's the only other thing.
Philly, it was confirmed that Philly had an offer to move up. So you could have went to 31, and then maybe Tyleik Williams was still there.
The thing that burns me even more about this is Philly got him. Is that Philadelphia got...
They moved up one spot to grab him.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. they knew he wouldn't get by Kansas City.
Or...
And sooner or later, the Nick Bolton thing is going to run its course, and they got to have somebody replace him.
It's just mind-blowing to me that they did what they did there. It just felt early. It didn't feel all that economical. And I think that when you have a guy like Campbell sitting there, it didn't make all the sense in the world to do this. I need to know your thoughts.
So I'll say this much. This is coming from a Michigan fan that watched Mason Graham and what's his face? Who's the guy at the Dolphins? I can't believe it. As soon as the draft's over, I forget
Grant.
All these names. I watched Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant up close and personal for years, which also meant I watched a lot of Ohio State football, whether it was hate watching or watching. Like, say what you want about Ohio State this year. Yeah, in an old system, they probably didn't deserve to get in. On paper, they were the most talented team in college football last year. Talented. And Tyleik Williams and and JT Tuimoloau could have went in last year's draft. Tuimoloau, of course, was a second rounder this year, but they both would have been first rounders if they went in last year's draft. Like, they're that good. They just got paid a lot of money to come back. If you look at Tyleek Williams' production, I think he was at very best the second best tackle to Mason Graham in this draft, second best DT. I think he's better than Derek Harmon. I think you can make a case that he's better than Kenneth Grant. What other tackles went over?
I don't agree with that.
Walter
Nolan.
No, I think Tyleek Williams played on. Listen, Tyleek Williams' production with a better schedule, with the national championship on his belt. Like, when I watch the tape of Tyleek Williams, like, I do see another Aleem, and like, he's so good. He can, like, on pass rushing downs, you can put Tyleek on the end and he could do some damage. I think he's just going to thrive the most in the interior next to Aleem McNeil when the time comes. And it makes sense.
That's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, I think Aleem could be
said that,
he could be back by November.
He's not going to see the field till at least 7 or 8.
November. You could see him back in November. There, and that's why it makes sense.
The last thing I read was before Thanksgiving.
And that's why it could be okay, because when that happens, like, you get a full year of a quality D tackle, then you still have DJ Reader next to him. Of course, there's that issue at edge, but from what I understand, and shout out to my boy Matt Derry, who I used to work with at 105.1. He has the Locked On Lions podcast. He used to work at 97.1. I don't know if you guys remember Matt Derry or not.
I remember the name, yeah.
Matt Derry hosts his podcast, and he's like, everyone within the Lions organization is telling me this. The Lions aren't thinking, let's run it back. We're going to run it back. The Lions are still thinking that it's 2024. They don't even think, like, they went 15-2, but they don't even think that you saw the proper Detroit Lions last year because of all the injuries. They think that we didn't even see anything last year. That's their mindset at the moment. They are thinking that, well, no, like, that was a great year, but it should have been, like, we thought we should have won the Super Bowl, and this is the pick that helps us build the dynasty going forward. You know,
but you can't sit there and say, well, you know what, we're drafting for best player and not for need. That's bullshit. They drafted him for need.
Okay.
Obviously.
Okay.
Obviously.
Here's my, and you might be right. Here's my argument against that. Everyone knocked Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell. And if you still want to knock Jack Campbell, that's fine. Everyone knocked Jahmyr Gibbs and said, is this a need or is this best player available? Well, no. On their board 2 years ago, Jahmyr Gibbs was their best player. I mean, I'm sure that
up on the best player available to get him.
Will Anderson, you're talking about Jalen Carter?
Yes.
He wasn't their best player available. He wasn't a fit for them. He wasn't I'm talking about for the Lions. They're going to view things differently. And this is the same mindset that got you Aleem McNeil and got you Anzarike. It got you, like, the same guy. Like, when we get to Isaac Tesla, like, we'll get there. This is the guy that picked Amon-Ra St. Brown. This is the guy that picked it. Like, this guy knows receivers. He picked some really – he also was there to pick Cooper Kupp for the Rams. Like, he was the one that hammered that home. So, on their board, this is the guy that they thought was number one. And, like, he hasn't missed on a first-round pick. He hasn't missed. Like, maybe the jury's still out on Terrion Arnold, if you want to say that. That's fine.
Jack Campbell.
They love Jack Campbell, and Jack Campbell finished as a top 10 greatest linebacker last year. He was one of the 10 best linebackers in the league last year, and that was his second year. Like, he's only going to get better.
I hope so.
I'm not going to argue that. This is the guy that makes those picks.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, if this is what they feel.
So you were happy with it?
I didn't hate it. Of course, that part of me still, like, I would have loved Jahad Campbell. And that part of me is still thinking, like, we need an edge rusher.
I think
Sam was
right when he said when Atlanta moved up and grabbed Pierce that they panicked. Zabel went off the board, then he went off the board.
I think if James Pierce was there, they would have taken
Hold on. Yeah. I think the fact that they didn't take Mike Green.
Okay, I want to get to this.
Was indicative that they weren't taking Pierce either.
The second pick. The first pick, you can say if Tyleek Williams was the number one guy on their board, that's fine. I get that.
I don't hate the pick. I just don't like the fact that you pass up on a better player to grab a position of need. And that's exactly what he said they're not going to do.
But they don't think that way. They're not thinking that it was a position of need. They think they took the best player on their board.
I differ on that. I think they did it because it was.
Yeah, but we've and that's fair.
Yeah.
Like you and me and Sam are entitled to any opinion that we have, but his drafts speak for themselves.
Listen,
like,
I didn't
speak for themselves.
Mind his first pick. I didn't mind his second pick.
Okay, I did.
The second pick I didn't mind.
I did.
Go ahead. Air your grievances out.
I minded the second pick. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I minded the second pick because I got so excited when they moved up. Because I was sitting there and I was watching it. And I was like, I really think that Baltimore is going to take Mike Green. And when they traded up to get in front of Baltimore, I thought, sign, seal, delivered. They're going to get a first-round edge rusher at 57. They didn't have to give up all that much to move up to get him. This is the pick. And they're gonna make up for every irritant that I had with them in the first round. And they didn't. And I couldn't for the life of me understand why when you have that kind of value there, you don't do it. And I knew Baltimore was going to take him. And then another really good team got another really good player at a nice discount that the Lions really could have used.
Say what you want about... Okay, I love Mike Green, too. We were talking about it a long time ago. Like I had him mocked here at one point.
That was just so good.
I love Mike Green, but you got to keep in mind, like, a lot of teams passed on him twice. That's how people felt about, like, the Lions weren't the only one to demote Mike Green on their board. Those character concerns scared them. He had a domestic issue when he was at University of Virginia. And that's not the type of people we want here. And we've spent the better part of, we'll call it the last 2 years, talking about Jameson Williams' character concerns, who, by the way, was at Sarah's graduation on Friday. I got a good video of him. I got to have a good video. Like, I was literally there. And Kirby Joseph was with him, too. We've spent so much time talking about Jameson Williams' character concerns that, like, the Lion, that's not what we do here. Like, it's not about, are you the best guy on the board? It's about... The counter to that coin is the kid that they got from Egypt, from Boise State. I think he's going to come in here and contribute. I think he's going to actually be on the board when on the field when the time comes. Like, I think they actually love him that much as a pass rushing specialist. You know, like, that's the type of character that they want here. That's something that's been consistent across the board, except for Jameson Williams, is really high character people. And Mike Green does not seem that way. James Pierce had his issues. I can't speak for Jihad Campbell. I think the Lions really like Jihad Campbell. They just probably didn't have him as high as Tyleik Williams. That's all it was.
You're good with the second Ratledge pick.
I love it. I love both of the guards. Here's my only question on the guards. So Miles Frazier, who they took in the fifth round, the kid from LSU, he could play tackle. He could be your Colby Sorsdahl replacement who hasn't panned out for them. But he can play tackle. Are you going to take any one of Ratledge, Frazier, or Christian Mahogany from last year and do what with them?
Play center.
Are you going to convert one of them to center? That's my question. Because if you do, if you will, and the one that makes the most sense is actually Frazier, even though he's a swing tackle, but he played all 5 points on the line at LSU. And your backup center right now is probably Glasgow, who played center at Michigan. But if you can turn one of those guys into a center, like Frazier was very highly rated. Like Ratledge is a no, but like Ratledge might start next year over Mahogany or unseat Glasgow. Like I could see Glasgow getting cut.
I see him going to right guard and starting there.
Yeah, 100%.
Because that's what he started.
Or the counter, the flip side of the coin is, from what I understand, the Lions feel that Graham Glasgow, to accommodate Zeitler last year, played out of place at left guard, and he's a true right guard. And that might unlock Glasgow a little better, moving him back to the right. And then whoever is at, you know, if it's Mahogany or if it's Ratledge at left guard. Like, Tate Ratledge is clearly a son of a bitch and someone that's going to be here. Like, you solved a major hole. Like, they were potentially going to go guard in the first round, and they didn't do it. And they probably got a guy that they were really high on that they traded up for in the second round. And yeah, I have a hard time hating it. Again, like, I'm with you. Like, a pass rusher would have been sexy and great. But they are thinking right now, no, we like what we have at pass rusher. We don't even know what it looks like at the moment.
Yeah, but who?
Marcus Davenport. Marcus Davenport. And we might hate it right now, but like they could be right about it. What's up? You said it's not, it isn't working? Oh, you're saying Anzarike. I don't think it's him. I think it's Josh Pascal. Combination of Marcus Davenport, and I genuinely believe
Za'Darius Smith's coming back.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to sign Za'Darius Smith too as well. But that's he's a depth sign. Like he's not going to be an every down DN. I think he's just going to be a depth signing to get Marcus Davenport off the field. I genuinely believe this Boise State kid is going to give Ahmad Hassan.
Ahmad Hassan.
Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, Saddam Hussein. To go with Al-Quadin Muhammad.
Yeah. I think he's going to be here. I think he's going to be on the field this year. Like, not a developmental guy.
I just say, those two, to me.
The Tesla signing, you can't.
Okay.
To me, I'm sorry.
You can't spin
I don't give a fuck. You gave up way too much.
Okay. If he's the next Cooper Kupp, this is all for naught. All right? If he's the next Cooper Kupp, it's all for naught. But the only thing I want to say is when they took him, he was the 9th best receiver on the board. Okay? That's number one. Number two, you gave up 2/3 next year to move up to get him.
So almost an entire round.
You have to be so enamored with him that you're willing to give that's a decent amount of capital.
So real quick on the trade, do you guys know how the trade chart works? Each pick has like a numeric value and every team goes by this. Each pick has a numeric value attached to it. And then what you do is like you're trying to like mix and match numbers, and that's how they make trades work. They're usually almost 50-50. On the scale that all the teams use, and I couldn't believe this either, but because of where those picks are, right? Like one of them was their initial third round pick was towards it was gone, but the one this year was 102 because it's a comp pick. It's the back of the third round. Next year's third, you don't know, but then next year's comped third will also be at the back of the third round. Because of where those two picks are, the value that they got by coming up to 70, which means you're getting like a top 30. 70 player in the
From 102 to 70.
The Lions, the value actually favored the Lions in the trade. Now I agree with you. I would rather have the 3 third round picks, especially because their guy might have been there. But who knows? They might have gotten a whiff of another team might be sniffing around. Another team might feel the same because crazy things happen in the draft. So they might have been trying to beat another
Grant
team.
Holmes did an interview and he was talking about this Tesla pick. He didn't even know who Tesla was till the fucking Senior Bowl. Said it himself.
I just
didn't know who he was till the fucking Senior Bowl.
I don't know if it's because of the whole Dan Campbell guy thing or the In Brad We Trust thing, but you picked the guy from Hill. Like I don't. It just doesn't sit right with me. He was the great Atlantic Conference Player of the Year.
What did you think of his tape, though? What did you think of his tape from Arkansas? Not his D3 tape.
His tape from Arkansas is good. Because I did. I actually went and watched it on him.
Yeah, was that as good as Jameson Williams? No.
No. And the other thing is, I like Jalen Noel better still, going back and looking at both of them, who went like 5 or 6 picks after him. And he was rated 100 spots higher than Isaac Tesla, 110. It's the value there. It's moving up on the guy that more likely than not probably would have been there without you having to move up. Unless there was one other team that was so enamored.
But we don't know that because this same conversation that we're having, we had about Jahmyr Gibbs and people hated it and knocked it and roasted in game one against the Chiefs. It wasn't good enough. See, we were right. We were right. Joe Douglas was on a podcast, the former Jets GM who was fired earlier this year, Joe Douglas was on a podcast 2 weeks ago and said, yeah, we were taking Jahmyr Gibbs at 15 and the Lions jumped up and took him before we could. We were taking Jahmyr Gibbs. So there might have been a team that we don't know. Like we don't know. I'll say this much about Tesla. We've been asking, you and I in particular, have been asking for an X wide receiver for 2 years. And we got really good production last year, really good production out of our buddy from Denver, Tim Patrick. Tesla's tape is incredible. His 40 was 4.4. At 6.4, he had the fifth highest vertical for every receiver. It looked like he was always open on tape, and this is what they value, which was a common theme for all of their picks this year, except for two of them. They value high RAS scores. There's a guy from Michigan who used to work for Pride of Detroit. His name is Kent Lee Platt or something like that. He came up with something to measure draft prospects called RAS, Relative Athletic Score, and he takes as much data as possible. Sometimes it's incomplete because guys don't run at the combine, or they'll run at pro day and you won't be able to see it. He takes their bench press, he takes their 40, their vertical, their hand size, and comes up with a number to show how athletic a guy is. Almost 95% of Brad Holmes' draft picks in these five drafts, 21, 22, 23, 24, and now 25, 95% of the guys that they take have extremely high RAS scores, over 9.0.
Ratledge had the seventh highest in this draft, and Tesla had the eighth highest.
Yeah.
Ratledge was rated number one in athleticism of all the
for interior linemen. So on their board, I'm sure that they had Ratledge higher than Jonathan Cooper from Alabama. Yeah. And then who's the kid from Ohio State? Booker. Donovan Jackson. Oh, Booker. I'm sure that Ratledge was higher than both of those guys.
Athleticism scores were high.
Exactly, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for high football IQ athletic guys with good character who are versatile, who could come in and plug and play. A good example last year was the kid they drafted from – the safety they drafted from Utah that ended up switching. Sione Vaki is a great example. They're looking for guys that are versatile, so that way if there's a pinch, they can come and plug in and help them in some way. You know, positional versatility, which is the future of drafts in general. If anyone wants to hate on any of these picks, I am fine with it. In real time, I did not like the Broderick Martin pick 2 years ago, and look, here we are. There's a chance that this guy gets cut or doesn't touch the field, and you waste a third on him. So that could be the case.
Hendon Hooker,
same thing. Something might be up with Hendon Hooker. We don't know. We might never see him touch the field. Now, that being said, I need to wait to reserve judgment on this current draft class until I see how they contribute on the field. You can't judge a draft class after it happens. It's simply not possible, because if we look at Brad Holmes' first draft, his first round pick was who? His first draft. Penei Sewell ended up getting, is arguably the best tackle in football, one of them, if not, got the highest contract at the time. His second round pick, Aleem McNeil. His third round pick was Anzarike, who did maybe whatever, but got a second contract. Fourth round pick was Amon-Ra St. Brown. Was that the Kirby Joseph draft? No, I'm sorry. Derek Barnes was his fifth round pick that year. Sixth round pick was James Houston, who was good but is now gone. And then Ife Melifonwu, who is good but got a second contract, is now gone. That's his first draft. I can't knock him for these mid-round picks because that's where he cooks. Like, that's where he butters his bread. So I can't. It's too early to say something.
To me, I still can't get over the fact that you have an Alabama player that's
Campbell. You're talking about
players
Campbell?
At an extremely high level
who also had an extremely high RAS score.
He interviewed well with them. They talked to him.
I just don't understand why you pass up over that guy when you have a linebacker room of a guy that's should be holding the clipboard. One can't stay on the field, and the other one is a fucking special teams player. That bothers me.
Can I give you the flip side of the coin? You're saying that they drafted Tyleek Williams because he's position of need, right?
Correct.
The Lions vehemently disagree with you that linebacker is a position of need.
I think it is.
It was only a position of need last year because you lost every one of them.
I think it's been a position of need since they've fucking started.
I know, but they disagree with you. They don't think that. They think they have. And then on top of that, who's the kid they signed from the Colts? I can't remember. The white guy they signed from the Colts. Like, they think that their linebacker, like, if you were to talk to Kelvin Shepard and Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, I think they're going to tell you that they think their linebacker room is the strongest room on the defense, if not on the team. I think that that's what they're going to tell you. And that's why they didn't draft Campbell.
Yeah. I don't agree with that whatsoever.
That's fair. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to give you the like what their potential perspective on this is.
You thought it would look nice with fucking Jack Campbell and Jahad Campbell
The Campbell
those
brothers.
Two young guys.
The Soup Bros.
Those two young guys running sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
To me, fuck that, dude. What are we going to stop playing games here, dude? Listen to me. High school is a great guy. I get it. He's a folklore. He's got the big blonde hair. Whatever, dude. Guess what? Get your hands on that clipboard and start learning how to be a coach. And then Barnes can't stay on the field. He'll break his toe and he'll be gone fucking 9 weeks. You know, I mean, where else are you going with this? It is what it is. You know, Rodriguez, great guy, dude.
That's how
the
I feel.
The problem is he's a special teams guy.
How you feel about linebackers, how I feel about edge rusher, but I just
exactly.
trust them.
I'm the same
I just
way.
Trust them. I think that they're thinking that, well, if we have a full season of Aiden Hutchinson now, I think a lot of people on, like, Twitter completely overinflate Aiden Hutchinson's value. But, yeah, like, things are going to look a lot better if you take Aiden Hutchinson's full season of production and you couple it with a healthy Marcus Davenport. Like, I think there's potential there. And what's good about Marcus Davenport, he didn't have a lower body injury. It was an upper body injury. So maybe he could come back and play well. We don't
Hopefully.
Know that. And if it's rotational pieces, like, if you're just rotating guys and, like, who's the kid they drafted from LSU last year? I can't remember his name. The D lineman that went out. That guy was producing as a sixth rounder. Like, they think
Mekhi Wingo.
They think that they have the answers in house. And I'm telling you, it goes back to that Matt Derry comment. The Lions weren't like they're not in the run it back mindset. They're in the mindset of, like, we don't even know how good this team was last year because everyone got injured and we still went 15-2.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're thinking. So I think we kind of just at this point.
But the defense definitely needed to be addressed. And they went more offense than I really thought they were going to do.
To me, the big shocker was the Tesla pick. Like, I didn't like what
they gave up for him. That's all.
And it's just – and I get the res.
Unless this guy comes in and it's Calvin Johnson from fucking day one, you ain't going to explain that to fucking anybody. You're not going to sell that to anybody, dude.
I don't think he's going to be off the field. And on top of that, like, Tim Patrick's here for one more year, and Khalif Raymond is old. He's not gonna be here forever. Like, I believe this might be the last.
Khalif Raymond is a dog.
He's a dog, but he's old, and he got injured last year.
Khalif Raymond is one of my favorite guys.
So if this is your core is St. Brown, Tesla, and Jamison Witt, like, that's pretty firm. And Sam Laporta.
Khalif Raymond.
I don't know if Tim Patrick's going to be here after this year. I don't think he is. But Khalif Raymond could.
I mean, he could produce this year. Listen, like, if you need wide receiver, why are you giving up 2 third-round picks when you could fucking draft one next year with those 3 third-round picks that you had? You get what I'm saying? You don't need this guy this year. That's all I'm saying.
You might be right, but they might have saw something that's like, this is why we need him this year. They might, like, the Lions have been very good about letting their rookies contribute.
Yeah.
Very good. Like, I don't think they drafted like, I'm looking at Tesla's tape, and I don't see a project, you know? And he might just be, like, a late – like, they have a way of doing things, and I'm not going to get on my knees, oh, and Brad, we trust, because, like, man, I want a pass rusher. I do want a DN. Yeah. So I'm not going to do that. But at the same time, like, it's really hard for me to go after
this really
draft
impressed
record.
Me, a team that really, really needing pass rush very bad, Atlanta. They came in, and they got the two best pass rushers in the fucking draft. They didn't play games. They moved up because they knew Baltimore was going to take Pierce regardless. So they had to jump in front of Baltimore to get him. To me, that was a gutsy move. That was a good move. You got the best pass rusher and Walker from Georgia, and then you turn around and you grab Pierce. That to me was money in the bank for them.
How did we feel about the back end? You've talked about a few of the guys already. I mean, you obviously like Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, I don't really know enough about the two Georgia guys that they got. I think they're both going to be special teamers. But the safety, like, every time he was on the field, and he started this year, the walk-on safety from Georgia, what's his name? I can't remember.
Dan Jackson.
Everyone at Georgia loved him. I mean, he's a 2-time national champion. I mean, you could say that for any of these Georgia guys, but... Ahmad Hassan or whatever his name is, like, I genuinely see him coming in and contributing. Like, if Boise State was the number 2 or the number 3 seed last year, and are they Big 12 now or no? Were they still? Either way, he played a tough schedule. He played tough teams last year, and I think he did. I think he did a great job. Like, he was 15. He had 15 sacks. What did he have? How many sacks did he have? He was a top five sack specialist in college football last year. The production was there on the field against decent competition. And just listening to the guys talk, like, I'll never forget reading all the beat writers' comments after his press conference, because they talk to these guys on Zoom immediately after they get drafted. Like, every beat writer was swooning and had something to say. Dave Burkett from the Free Press, Colton Pouncey from The Athletic, who else? Everyone was swooning. Everyone was like, okay, you guys are going to love this guy. And when that happens, we typically not only love the guy, but they end up producing. And I'm excited to, like, is he the rotational guy? Like, does he have a chance to, like, grab the position by the balls? The guy's always posting workout videos, so let's see how he adapts to their camp and how he adapts to their competition. And who knows? Maybe he can end up getting a spot.
Yeah, he finished last year with 9.5 sacks.
Speaking of workout videos, I just seen Nick Chubb's latest workout video.
Still,
my God.
Still a free agent.
That guy is such a beast. I would love to bring him in here.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with him? And then the only other one, you think Miles Frazier is going to have a pretty big role?
Yeah, I do, because I think that they're disappointed. Like, they have enough body of work on Colby Sorsdahl at this point, that, and they're going to eventually, like, Skipper's great, but, like, eventually you're going to need that swing offensive lineman. And if Frazier doesn't start at guard at some point in the future, like, yeah, I could see him maybe being penciled into that right tackle spot after Decker's gone, or, like, if they can teach one of the other two how to play center, like, I could see Frazier starting. Like, he again, same drill, like, his tape is there. He's athletic, and he's ready to go. And everyone said, like, he's – Ratledge and Frazier worked out together in Florida for the pre-draft process, which I think is great. So I'm excited. Yeah, I think he could be outstanding. Mahogany was in the sixth round last year and came in and contributed and did a good job contributing. So
overall, what's your overall synopsis of this draft?
I think you have a chance to have, like, 3 to 5 starters out of it. I think that the first two picks won imminently and will have a starting spot going forward at a school that I like in Ohio State at positional, like, I'm telling you, he is one of the better tackles in this draft. Over Harmon, for sure. If you don't want to take him over the Michigan guys, that's fine. But I think they got a starter in the first round, a starter in the second round. The upside on Tesla, like, if you sort Tesla, if you sort your feelings between – well, there were guys that are higher ranked, and, well, wait, the upside on this guy is way better. The upside on Tesla has me excited. I don't think he's going to be a crazy day one contributor, but I also can see him being a day one contributor. I love Frazier, and I love Hassan from Boise State. So I think that they got guys that you're going to see on the field next year based on the fact that almost everyone from last year's draft class, except for Giovanni Manu, was on the field. Sione Vaki touched the field. We talked about it earlier.
Manu, they were trying to get him to play left guard.
Supposedly Manu looks incredible right now in everything they've seen. Like people are excited. They canceled their mandatory camp because they got added to the Hall of Fame game. I don't know if you guys talked about that
at all.
But
we did not.
They canceled their mandatory camp because they can go to camp earlier now. I think we'll have some really good answers really soon. In 10 weeks, we're going to have some really, really good answers. Mid-July, you'll know what the depth chart looks like. And then that Hall of Fame game, you'll know, like, where's Manu slotted? Is he slotted at right guard or slotted at right tackle?
Playing that game.
Yeah. No, I just know, because the starters aren't going to play in the Hall of Fame game. So, we're like, you'll get a good idea of, like, well, is Ratledge at center for that game? Is Frazier at center for that? Like, you'll know. And I'm excited for that.
Okay. I guess my next question for you guys is, if the Lions are going to do something else this offseason, what do you think it should be? If it's, whether it's a free agent, whether it's somebody that should be cut in training camp, what is something you still think that they need to do before we get into next year? And do you think that this Lions team right now, obviously injuries played a huge factor, do you think this Lions team right now is better than what they put on the field last year?
Yeah.
You do.
When healthy, yeah. If they're healthy, they went 15-2 and they were unhealthy last year. They're 15-2 without their best player on defense and without a lot of other pieces on defense. They're 15-2. So yeah, on paper for sure. Like you can only argue that they got better. Because who did they lose? They lost Ife Melifonwu, who barely touched the field last year.
Carlton Davis.
I would argue DJ Reed's better than Carlton Davis, but who am I? And even if he's not, like I think we liked end of season. Zeitler, you can make the case as a big loss, but like his replacements are there. You know, like I think guards not necessarily a dime a dozen. Like you can expose a bad guard, but I think they only have good guards. Zeitler, Carlton Davis, Ife Melifonwu, who else?
Emmanuel Mosley, Kendall Vildor, Reeves Maben. Kyle Pecco, John Kaminsky, Ben Neiman, Allen Robinson, Teddy Bridgewater.
So what do you think? Do you think they're better after this draft?
I think they have to be because, like you said, they didn't lose anything. It's just I so desperately wanted them to do something sexy. I wanted that. The million-dollar question for me since last year has been, what are they going to do about edge rusher? The entire trade deadline, it was weighed down by what are the Lions going to do with edge rusher? And then you get up to this draft, and it's edge rusher, edge rusher, edge rusher, and they didn't do anything.
I just wanted them to do best player. It wasn't even about edge rusher.
For me, it was all about edge rusher.
It was just take the best. Either you take the best player or try to drop back or move forward and get the guy you wanted.
Before we go, who are the best edge rushers available at 28? When they were picking.
After Pierce is gone?
Yeah.
The kid from Boston College that the Cowboys took in the second round.
Ezeriku or Ezra.
Yeah.
Mike Green.
The
UCLA guy, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, he went actually higher than I thought he was getting.
And the Lions
he went higher than
him.
Those other guys
and
did.
The Lions talked to him multiple times.
Yeah.
The Ole DiGiotto guy.
Yeah.
You're saying before the second
who went,
round pick?
Yeah, who went? Okay, they picked at 28. I like Tyleek Williams better than every name that we've said. Every name. The only reason I liked Mike Green is because he had production and his tape was good. And
kid from Boston College did too.
I don't
sick